And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Welcome to this edition of the Hagmann Report. It is Wednesday, November 15th, 2017. Program heard live 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time right here on Global Star Radio Network and BTR. Thanks for joining us. We've got a lot of things taking place, a lot of news to cover. And, of course, at the third hour, we will have some spiritual nourishment from Pastor David Langford. Just want to thank everyone for joining us again tonight. Thank you so much for your belief and your trust in us. The news media, the news headlines, what a minefield of events we are seeing. Of course, you know, it's interesting. I'm going to just say this right off the top. It's interesting that we have little coverage of the Uranium One scandal. We have a little coverage of the emails that's still a story. That's still a crime. Hillary Clinton and Huma Abedin. We have little coverage of Pedigate. Well, that's going to change tonight, hour two. And we have little coverage in the mainstream media, of course, why would they, of fake news. That's going to change momentarily. So hour one, we're having Peter Barry Chalka come on. And he's definitely always a crowd pleaser. Let me tell you, his article, new article, it was 40 years ago. When my suspicions about fake news were confirmed, there you have it. Go to HagmannReport.com, click on the link there. And by the way, do yourselves a favor, follow Peter Barry Chalka on Twitter. His Twitter account is P. Chalka, right? At P. Chalka. So follow him on Twitter. I do, and I'm actually get updates from him even when they're not on our website, of course. So that said, now a couple of things. It's Joe, I wanted to ask you, did you happen to see the 6-minute, what would you call it, monologue by Shepard Smith? And I want to ask
no,
Peter about
I didn't.
This
I did not, but I did read of some people on the internet, some commenters who were very dissatisfied with Fox News, saying,
okay,
I'm never watching
okay.
Fox again. This is crazy.
Right. And this, now for those of you who don't know what I'm referring to, this is why Peter Barry Chalka is so important. This is why we talk about Sean Hannity, for example. And this is Exhibit A. This is a perfect example of what Peter Barry Chalka has been talking about for the better part of a year and writing about. And what it is this. Uranium One had been laid out explicitly using a flowchart yesterday by Sean Hannity. As a matter of fact, I've got a very similar flowchart laid out in my office on a large, it's a heavy stock paper. And it's very comprehensive, a little bit more than Sean Hannity's. But Sean Hannity's did the trick. I don't know if you saw that last night. However, what we're talking about is a 6-minute segment where Shepard Smith came in and refuted the Uranium One story. And the facts, though, if you check the facts, you compare the facts, his facts, to the facts presented by Peter Schweitzer, by Sean Hannity, by Sarah Carter, by John The Hill, John Solomon. And if you look at all of the new information, I've got to tell you, Shepard Smith is wrong. I mean, he's wrong, incorrect, completely. My question is, how is this possible? And, of course, we're going to be talking about this with Peter Chalka, but if you can just imagine it would be pretty much like one of our, well, like Joe and I having differing of me providing evidence and Joe providing evidence that's in direct opposition to what I provide, or vice versa. Well, there's only one correct set of evidence, or one correct evidence, So that's, to me, this is Exhibit A. This is illustrative of the everything that that Peter's been talking about. So hopefully we're going to have a chance to get into that today. Very interesting. Portion of Tonight's broadcast brought to you, of course, by Omaha Steaks. You want a great steak, or perhaps seafood, or any number of other gourmet foods, go to omahasteaks.com. That's omahasteaks.com. And for a family gift pack, the special that they're running today, just for Hagman listeners, go to omahasteaks.com, type in HH in the search bar, and you'll get 75% off of the gift pack there. It's under $50. It's an incredible savings. More on that later. So all of this combined, plus, of course, the news on Judge Roy Moore. I'm not liking what I'm hearing.
It's another accuser.
Another accuser, right. But then...
That's a weird story.
Yes. I received it. Actually, someone had telephoned the office and said, why don't you give an offer to provide polygraph examinations to all of the accusers? And... to us, because we're licensed investigators, of course, we're not polygraphers, and... we don't employ polygraphers. No, that's not what it means. Polygraph technicians. We don't employ them. So,
well, just real quick, there's a few things that with the Roy Moore thing. Then we'll bring Peter on. One, Sean Hannity gave Roy Moore an ultimatum, gave him 24 hours to respond to the latest allegations from yesterday or Monday, or to clarify his story, or he was going to pull a support from him. I think that was the deal. And I don't know what Hannity was thinking. I don't agree with that move at all. And I don't know who that was trying to help. It doesn't seem like that would be helpful to Roy Moore to put him in that situation. But either way, the lawyers for Roy Moore had a press conference today. And they disputed the yearbook, what was in the yearbook, the signature of Roy Moore with the DA next to it. Now, according to the attorneys, the accuser who had the press conference with Gloria Allred had a divorce proceeding in Roy Moore's courtroom in 1999, where he was the judge over this woman's divorce proceeding. If that's true, to me, that and some of the other things the lawyer points out takes away a lot of the credibility from the woman. But again, you have another accuser coming forward, and they're saying that she was grabbed inappropriately by him one time in his office while her mother was there, but her mother didn't see it. It's very convenient.
Well, yeah, I'm looking at this. This, to me, without respect or without regard to the actual, did any of this happen? Look, I don't know. I wasn't there. And it's a he said, she said right. type of situation. And on the left, it's interesting how convenient it is where people are coming out and say, well, and how many times have the victims been proved wrong? Look at the Duke lacrosse case, look at some other cases. Yet that same standard is not applicable to people like Bill Clinton, or as we're seeing with Joe Biden and others. So it's very interesting. So without respect to that, I just find the timing of the accusations and the quality of the accusations to be lacking. That's all I'm going to say. But again, this, regardless of which side you're on, I don't see any winners here. And I certainly don't want to, you cannot unring the bell that has been rung. I'll just leave it at that. Let's not waste any more time. Peter Barry Chalka, one of the most talented and gifted writers I know, and certainly a great intellectual as well. His latest piece is on HagmanReport.com. It was 40 years ago when my suspicions about fake news were confirmed. Check it out. Go to HagmanReport.com. There it is on the screen if you're watching this via YouTube. Peter, welcome. Nope. Can't hear you.
We can't hear you, Peter.
Nope. Can't. You know what? We're going to reconnect. We're going to reconnect. So... how's that for sign language?
Looked like he had a new piece of equipment. I don't know if that was a microphone that he had there, or a new setup at least, but
a lot of times it's even with the preparation beforehand, a lot of times the equipment malfunctions, or it's got to go through a lot of different gates, I suppose, is the wording here.
Well, while we're waiting for Peter, how about this?
Yeah.
Did you see this story today? House Democrats introduced articles of impeachment against Trump. There were six House Democrats on Wednesday launched their latest effort to oust President Trump, including five new articles of impeachment revolving around the central theme that the president is a danger to the country. You have claims that, one, he obstructed justice by firing James Comey.
Right.
One saying that, and I think we hear you, Peter, one saying that he meddled with Russia in, or colluded with Russia in the election. Another saying he was mentally unfit. Another saying he violated some constitutional clause for receiving gifts.
False, subjective.
But anyway, it's going to go nowhere. But we see these people continuing to try. And
Joe, that's the end game objective.
Will this? Some are concerned that this is going to hurt the Democrats' chances in the 2018 election.
Okay, we're good to go. Peter, welcome. Okay.
Well, are we good?
There we go.
There we are.
You know, I did a microphone test an hour ago, and everything was working fine. So you never know with Skype.
It was actually Tech Eric's fault. He just said he just fell on his sword, so we're okay with that. So we're okay. So it's good to see you, my man. Good to see you. Thanks
for... Yes, absolutely.
That was a fantastic article, by the way, on just out. It was 40 years ago when my suspicions about fake news were confirmed. Fantastic. It's right here. We have it printed out, and it's required reading for all of our listeners. You know, or we ask you to please read that. And, of course...
It is an exclusive for the Hagmann Report.
Well, I'll tell you, you're a talented author, a talented writer, and a marvelous researcher, and we appreciate everything you do. Do you want to start off with that, or do you want to talk about... You want to go in the Fox News route, or what do you want to do?
I had intended to start off with the 40-year-ago today article, but... I'd rather go in a slightly different direction because I usually, as you know, don't often refer to myself personally in my writing or to some extent I let my hair down when we get together. But I wondered if I should even bring this up, but I think I have to because what happened to me earlier this morning advances the story that I'm working on and have been working on for the last 6 months or more on the cable news wars, the media, Fox News, Sean Hannity, and it really shed some light on the big picture. Just after 5 a.m. this morning, Eastern Time, I was still awake, of course, and I noticed a surge of activity on my Twitter account. And on instinct, I knew that Sean Hannity had not retweeted anything, which previously would result in this kind of activity on my Twitter. So I went to President Donald Trump's Twitter, and right at the top of his official Twitter page was a retweet of my tweet from November 4th, which linked to an article about Sean Hannity titled Sean Hannity's Big Week. So this is the second time that President Trump has retweeted me in the past 3 weeks. And I began to note what was happening with my Twitter because in a flash... one's Twitter account, when you're retweeted by the President of the United States, suddenly starts accumulating hundreds, if not thousands, of what are called notifications, messages, retweets, likes, etc. And I also gained about 150 new followers in the next 6 hours. But anyway, I wasn't prepared for what I was going to find by paying attention to the notifications. And I've seen some of this before because we know that the enemies of Donald Trump and Sean Hannity are out there lurking, but it really has hit a new low point. And I feel like today, in the wake of this, I'm coming off of at least a mild case of PTSD from really confronting what I saw on my Twitter. I'd say 90 to 95% of the messages and the notifications, the comments I was getting on my Twitter in response to President Trump's retweet were the most disgusting, vile attack messages that I could imagine. Absolutely depraved. And not all of them, of course, were paid trolls. You can tell, I check out as many as I can, and you can tell some of them are legitimate confused, angry, sick people out there who are attacking me. I mean, I'm down on the food chain, obviously, but they're attacking me. They're attacking President Trump. They're attacking Sean Hannity in the most disgusting, vile, and in some cases, borderline criminal ways. And I don't consider myself overly sensitive, but I have to say that in the dark of night there, I was not prepared for this onslaught, and it literally made me sick. So I begin with that, but the reason I even mention it is because it shed some important light for me on what's happening with the mainstream media, the Roy Moore case, the enemies of Donald Trump, and the target to take down Fox News and Sean Hannity. And I know that you are one of the few analysts who really understands this fully and completely. As we've been comparing notes, and I've been hearing your broadcasts in the morning, and you're right on the money with your identification of the importance of Fox News as the last mainstream media outlet of any credibility and fairness left standing. It's the last one. And although it's not perfect, and I don't even watch it much of the day, like when Shepard Smith is on, for example, the prime time at Fox, as well as the morning show, Judge Jeanine Pirro, and some others, are the best things on the mainstream media. And all you had to do was watch Sean Hannity's program last night, where I think he was channeling Glenn Beck in the high point days of Glenn Beck in 2009 and 2010, when Glenn would stand before a blackboard and elucidate what was going on with the new administration, the then new administration of Barack Hussein Obama. And Sean did that last night. He got out from his desk and stood in front of a flat screen and illustrated for the first 20 or 22 minutes of his program the crimes of the Democrats, Hillary Rodham Clinton, Bill Clinton, and Barack Hussein Obama and their associates. And it was a brilliant piece of original work. And, of course, this is why he is target number one now. But, again, what I realized with my experience a little more than 12 hours ago now with Twitter and President Trump retweeting and all is that I think this is how it came about. I think that President Trump was out of touch of the U.S. media with the exception of CNN, as he said, as he was traveling in Asia. And when he got back to the White House yesterday from his two-week Asia trip, I believe that he probably connected with Sean Hannity. They talk often off the record, but obviously they probably didn't during the past 2 weeks. And my sense is that Sean probably told President Trump what's been going on with him, with Fox News, and with the media in this country. And the picture is much more serious and bleak than we could have imagined. When Sean Hannity did the interview with Judge Roy Moore, candidate for the U.S. Senate in Alabama last Friday on his radio show, which was a hard-hitting interview. It was not a puff piece. There were not softball questions. And Hannity even got credit for that from a lot of the mainstream media. There's an article at Mediaite that refers to that. Anyway, that opened up Hannity for the big lie and the attempted takedown, the attempted kill shot by Media Matters and his other enemies out there. And in the ensuing 5 days, they have been able to, that is, Hannity's enemies have been able to create a false meme, fake news, claiming that Hannity is sympathetic to the pedophile Judge Roy Moore, and that therefore he's not worthy of being on the air, and his advertisers have to be targeted so they will stop advertising on his shows and he will go away. And I think that President Trump retweeting my article about Sean Hannity's big week shows that he's reaching out to his friend, Sean Hannity. President Trump is very loyal to his friends. He follows only about 20 people on Twitter who are not members of his immediate family, and Sean Hannity is one of them. So is Eric Bolling, by the way, who was excised from Fox News in September of this year after allegations in the Huffington Post about him. So I think this indicates, this is an indication of the real seriousness of Sean Hannity's standing at Fox News right now. Sean is taking the high road. He's acting confident. He's fighting back. He is positioning that the advertisers are not fleeing him. But right now it's very, very difficult to get a true take on what's happening with the advertisers. And for Shep Smith yesterday, for example, to go out there for 6 minutes on his broadcast and basically try to deflate or destroy the whole position that Sean Hannity and his guests, his expert guests, by the way, have been taking for the past weeks and months about the crimes of the Democrats is very telling. And I think lurking behind Fox News right now are the Murdoch boys, the son of Rupert Murdoch, the new regime that's there. And by the way, I have other indications. I've developed multiple sources at Fox News right inside there over the last 6 months. And indications I'm getting from them, both directly and indirectly, reading the tea leaves here, over the last 4 or 5 days, is that support for Sean Hannity at Fox News is seriously lagging now. So I don't make predictions. I'm not a prognosticator. But I'm very, very concerned, more concerned than I've ever been in the last 4 months or so that I've been in touch with Sean Hannity, that he may be taken down. And that will be an absolutely terrible occurrence if that happens. And I can't even imagine if the best last man standing at Fox News is taken down. That's going to be really bad news.
You know, Peter, I agree with your assessment. And I'll say this: I know that. I don't want to be too cryptic here, except to say that I've heard your name from my source. So there's some overlap at Fox News, the information you're getting and the people you're reaching out to or reaching out to you and had mentioned your name to me. Okay, one of the sources, or my source at Fox News. And that given where they're at position-wise, that's pretty telling. Now, what I'm concerned about, as I've said constantly, is that it's Mueller's job, in my estimation, to bring down Donald Trump. That's his job. And I do believe that it's Murdoch's, the Murdoch boys, their job to bring down Sean Hannity. And I think neither party or parties are going to stop until those jobs are accomplished. And I am very deeply concerned about Sean Hannity's future. And I heard this yesterday, that support or the excitement, I think the word was excitement, is eroding. The support is eroding for Sean Hannity, given especially after the Friday interview, which publicly people praised, even on, as you mentioned, even on the left, but internal to the effectiveness and as to the as to that interview, the support for that interview. So what are we looking at here? Because I'm very concerned about this, and those people who listen to my morning program know why, and to listen to you and read you, and they should know why. So what do you think? I mean, do you think that this is I don't even know what to ask at this point.
Well, unfortunately, we don't have the time to go into the details I have, many of which I could reveal, but as to why I have a bad feeling of where this is all going, not only with Fox News, but with the big picture. Let me flip to the bigger picture for a moment.
Okay.
To try to put this into a broader perspective. I think what we're seeing here in the United States right now is a revolution. It's a soft revolution in that the mainstream media and most of the media, with the exception of the alternative media, is really not reporting on what's going on. This was predicted by Barack Hussein Obama a few days before the 2008 election when he said, we're a few days away from transforming America. We couldn't have known what he had in mind. His first year, they proceeded kind of quietly, but now we see the effects of this. for the last 10 years at least, Hussein Obama and his comrades have been laying the groundwork, and they're still calling the shots through what Mueller is doing, etc. And what this is now entailing, as most revolutions, that is, internal revolutions and internal wars, is a purge. This is a term I think we need to get back in touch with, the purge, because in every communist, socialist, or fascist takeover or revolution that has occurred in the past 100 years, starting 100 years ago this year with the Soviet Bolshevik Revolution, they have all entailed purges of their opponents. And of course, in the Soviet Union in the 1920s, 30s, 40s, 50s, these were violent purges entailing the murder of opponents or their exile or their internment in concentration camps, with millions of people severely inconvenienced or left dead. And in every other communist or fascist country, Nazi Germany, Eastern Europe, East Germany, Red China, 1949, the Maoist Revolution, and then the 1960s Cultural Revolution, Cambodia, the Khmer Rouge, Vietnam after it was taken over by the communists in 1975, and in this hemisphere, Cuba and Venezuela. Every one of these socialist or communist revolutions internally has entailed purging, expunging from the society, from the culture, from the media, those who were truth tellers, those who could call attention to the revolution that was going on. They just had to be eliminated. Obviously, part of this is just human nature. When you have an enemy, you eliminate that enemy, whether foreign or domestic. And this is what is going on here now, live and in color. But it's not being reported in the mainstream media for the most part. In fact, they've turned everything upside down 180 degrees to make innocent people, crusading independent journalists like Sean Hannity, the victim and the enemy. And I just want to make this brief point about Sean Hannity, because I've heard you say, Joe, in the past that you soured on Hannity in the early 2000s when he was gung-ho on the Iraq war. And I felt the same way at the time. But remember, he was part of a duo then, Hannity and Combs. It was a left-wing, right-wing chat show. And I think now, since 2009, January, that he's been on his own on the show Hannity, he's evolved and matured into something that maybe we couldn't have imagined back there in the early 2000s. And not only through his own efforts, but through the guests that he has presented on his program in recent months, Sarah Carta of Circa News, John Solomon, originally of Circa News and now of The Hill, Greg Jarrett, Jay Sekulow, and Peter Schweitzer, and Ed Klein, many other crusading independent journalists and analysts who have got the story of what's going on in the United States today and aren't afraid to speak out and are getting very short shrift and hardly any coverage anywhere else, including on other Fox News programs. So that's why we have to pay renewed attention to Sean Hannity, if we're not already doing that, to pay very close attention while he is still with us.
Precisely, Peter. And by the way, I was pro-war at the time as well, and I got hoodwinked like everyone else. And of course, you evolve with the truth as the truth comes out. And I remember being on national radio, coast to coast, and pleading the case for war, and making no apologies. And of course, that was back, you know, way back when. But now you understand, and people understand. So I, and even Joe, understands as well. So yes, but you know what you said there, I don't know of any other platform, and even in the alternative or new honest media, that gives the combination of guests, for example, from Peter Schweitzer to Sarah Carter and John Solomon, collectively, and even from within the Fox News Department, attorney Greg Jarrett, for example, a brilliant legal mind. I don't know any. There's no one else that gives the platform to the combination where the full information for example, last night was a beautiful example of that. And in stark contrast, of course, was the piece by Shepard Smith. So this is why, you're right, this is why this is so important.
Indeed. I've been recording all of Sean Hannity's Fox News programs in recent months, and they're also available on YouTube. If you search Hannity and a date,
yep,
and YouTube, you will come up with his entire Fox News shows on YouTube, uploaded by individuals. And so far, Fox News is not clamping down on those. And by the way, one indication I have of the flagging support at Fox News for Sean Hannity is there's a website for his show at foxnews.com, and it has transcripts of his Fox News programs, complete transcripts, and significant video highlight clips of his monologues and his guests. Morning, his program from last Friday, the seminal show where he replayed most of his earlier radio interview with Judge Moore, has not been put online, nor has the transcript, nor has his monologue, nor have any significant clips from that show other than one with Sebastian Gorka, which was on a different subject. And I've asked Sean about that, and he has not answered my query on that, which I think is food for thought and grounds for further research right there. But we are in dire times there. But, you know, what we're seeing with the mainstream media now and its unbelievable takeover by the shadow government and the deep state, the likes of which we have never seen before. I mean, this absolutely chills the blood to see what the mainstream media is doing. Just a brief example, one of the people who posted a comment at my Twitter, you know, an adversarial comment, linked to an article at HuffPo written several days ago, supposedly confirming for this commenter that, oh, Sean Hannity is a supporter of a pedophile and supporter and endorser of Judge Moore, despite what has come out. So I went and read that article, and it was, of course, lies from beginning to end, total unadulterated lies. And, of course, the Huffington Post is one of the biggest news sites on the internet. I think it's in the top 100 in the United States. So this is the kind of big lie that's out there everywhere, partially, largely propelled by Media Matters, but it's really gone seriously viral now. And it's what took down, it's this kind of thing, focusing on the advertisers of these shows, that took down Bill O'Reilly, that probably took down Eric Bolling, and took down Bill Schein, who was the head of Fox News and was Hannity's original producer and was Hannity's big supporter at Fox News. He was fired in early May of this year based on unproven allegations. And now Hannity is in the crosshairs, and it seems like Shep Smith's reputation is rising there, and Hannity is losing support. But this, you know, again, to put this in a slightly broader context of the media, the media is the last element in the complete takeover of the entire culture, which again is a methodology used by communists, fascists, and statists for the past 100 years. They take over the culture because this is how you take over and influence the politics. Most people's heads are not into politics, they're into the culture, the popular culture. So that's where the left starts, and they started in earnest in the 1960s, and actually before that in the 1940s, but we don't have time to get into my analysis of that now. But in the last 50 years...
That's a very good point, Peter. I just wanted to toss it out there. What you just said about the culture, extremely important for people to really understand. Go ahead, sir.
To start it at the 1960s, virtually 50, 52, 53 years ago, as we sit here right now, they targeted the culture, television, primetime television, Hollywood films, popular music, rock and roll, which then became rap, which then became whatever it is now, you know, it's unlistenable, driving out classical music, of course, and any vestige of high Western culture there. They took over the performing arts, plays, Broadway plays. Look at the junk that's on Broadway now. It's ridiculous. They took over the educational system. Academia is now completely controlled by the communist left, right down into public education, right down to preschool. They took over the legal system. I was listening to Jan Markell's program last weekend where she, Understanding the Times, where she was mentioning how our legal system, of course, has been completely upended and corrupted. They've taken over, of course, the political realm. We now have apparently a majority of millennials saying, according to a recent public opinion sampling, that they would prefer to actually live under a communist or socialist system. They've expunged the history. They're now taking down the statues. And the last on the list here is the mainstream media. In the past 8 years, certainly, but really in the past year or two, since the rise of Donald Trump, we have seen the mainstream media go into a direction that the only parallels you can reach for are a previous completely controlled fascist regime like Nazi Germany, for example. Of course, it's different times, different situations, and I'm not equating the United States today with Nazi Germany, but a lot of the same techniques have been used in purging those who have a different point of view. Until now, they have got their sights, that is, the enemies of freedom, the enemies of the Constitution, the enemies of traditional America and of Donald Trump and of us, are now targeting our representative in the mainstream media, the last one left standing, Sean Hannity, on Fox News and on his daily radio show. He reaches an audience of between 16 and 20 million people, Americans, per week, with his radio show, which has over 10 million listeners, probably about 13 million, and his evening television show on Fox News, which has between 3 and 5 million listeners or viewers on any given night. So he's number one, really. He is the number one traditional conservative voice in the American media right now. And if he can be taken down, they are on firmer ground for coming after the rest of us who are much further down on the food chain and much easier to pick off.
Peter, I read a story
for us. Go ahead.
I read a story today just to add support to your argument, not that it needs support. We see with our own eyes what the media does. But, you know, this is an interesting article, even though it might not be important to some, but it kind of gives us an idea of where the media's head is at. And that was a New York Times reporter went on to say that the videos of Joe Biden circulating on Twitter, him being called Creepy Joe Biden, and the videos of him touching women on YouTube and Twitter are fake news, not because they are true, but because they, she says that, basically because it goes against what they believe as, you know, the liberal reporters on the New York Times. But they're advocating for Twitter because they don't agree with it, trying to cite it as fake news. And unfortunately, we live in a world where, you know, much of the top people in the industries of business and politics and the media have this same mindset. The people who run the social media, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, they have the same mindset. And it is of a deceived liberal view. And anything that is conservative, anything that is Christian, anything that is wholesome is viewed as basically enemy content and is subject to be censored. And unfortunately, that's the world that we live in today.
A world of total corruption and the big lie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and speaking of social media, there was a story that came out less than a week ago. I believe that Axios did an interview with Sean Parker, who is a billionaire co-founder of Facebook. And he finally came out and gave an interview critical of Facebook and social media. And he said that the goal of Facebook is, how do we consume as much of your time and conscious attention as possible? And that Facebook's purpose and all of social media really is to addict us to its methodology and to exploit human weakness. Of course, that's a good subject for a program or a major article on its own, and I suggest people Google that if they want to check that out, because it's really interesting. Sean Parker is the man's name. You know, it was said in the past that the television was the plug-in drug, and for the past really 100 years, we've been dealing with an electronic media, the mediated reality. We no longer, like in the whole history of humanity, engage other people and situations in our lives directly. We engage so much of what we know about the world and politics and culture through the media, a mediated reality. Of course, this really took off in the 1940s, 50s, and 60s with the proliferation of television. So TV, it was said, is the plug-in drug, addicting us to television. Well, now we have maybe the wireless drug, the Wi-Fi drug, which is the so-called smartphone and the Internet of Things, the Internet of Everything, propelled by social media, which is the vehicle for fake news, for dumbing down the last vestige of intelligence of the American people, especially dangerous now that a vast majority of Americans are accessing the Internet through their smartphones and computers. Laptops, desktops are becoming sadly obsolete. So there's many things to be concerned about, and actually, before we get to the end of this, because the end always comes very, very quickly, I just wanted to make this comment. Three things that I would hope that your audience would help all of us out with today. Number one is attention. Please give us your attention, and for me, I would appreciate, as you said earlier, Doug, attention to my Twitter. I'm a newbie as far as Twitter, but I see some value in it, and you have to build up not only your followers, but people who are actually paying attention. And I use my Twitter not to retweet, but to basically link to my articles and my broadcasts. So I'm not tweeting 30, 40, or 50 times a day, maybe once every 2 days or so, and that's twitter.com/PCHOWKA. Everybody as well should pay attention to what we're all doing, what you're doing on Twitter, and what most of your guests, the Hagman family, are doing on Twitter and on the web. And that also occasions retweets. If you follow us, you have to retweet and like what we are doing, assuming you like it. And I know for myself, I'm not doing this for the money. I'm not making a dime on anything that I am doing right now, and I have no plans to. What I'm doing this for is to try to bring the truth to our listeners, viewers, and readers. And number three on my list is prayers. From what I've seen last night, from the attacks on me on Twitter, it's really, really getting dangerous. I feel like I need to hire security now. I mean, that's no joke. And I know, Doug, you've talked about this. You've alluded with a certain vagueness to things that you are subjected to, you guys are subjected to on the Internet and otherwise. And I've really gotten a taste of it now on my end, thanks to President Trump's retweet of me this morning. So please, people in the audience watching, listening, give us your prayers. Include us in your prayers, or continue to include us in your prayers, because that is the number one most important thing, obviously, to help to get us through this spiritual battle that we're engaged in, so that hopefully we will see victory. And pray for Sean Hannity. Absolutely. As well. Pray for anyone who you see who is stepping out there and trying to speak truth to power at this very late stage in our evolution of the experiment and constitutional government of the United States, which is hanging by a thread.
Boy, I don't think I could have said it any better. And Peter, you're absolutely correct when the vile and vicious attacks that you received. You know, I have seen it, and I didn't think there was much that could surprise me, but the actual hatred, the visceral hatred that exists out there, once you uncover things and you know, when you write about things that you've written about, it's just an amazing thing to watch. It's frightening. And, yeah, it makes you want to build a fence around your home and make sure your family is protected. And it's beyond anything people, I think you can, it's beyond what people really can comprehend unless they're sitting in your seat. And I'm sorry you had to go through that. But,
well, you know, my friends of mine have said, why do you even look at it? Sean Hannity told me he never looks at any of his Twitter notifications, comments, direct messages, and that's true of most of the people in the public eye who might have millions of followers. It's just physically impossible.
Sure.
But I have always followed and tried to read all of the comments to my articles at American Thinker, for example. There have been over 1,000 comments in the last 2 days to my recent articles there. And, of course, they're nothing like what comes up on Twitter here in the last 12 years. I feel a responsibility when, you know, I have to see what's out there and I have to try to understand it and maybe steel myself against it. But I was really unprepared for the onslaught this morning. Before we run out of time, could I just maybe comment briefly on the article?
You've got the floor,
sir. Exclusively for the Hagmann Report, which is up there right now. And that is about, I originally titled it something like, it was 40 years ago today that I discovered fake news. And then I modified that by saying, well, it really was earlier than that because I've been into this for longer than 40 years. That is, as a reporter and a journalist. But I'm very attuned to dates and timelines, both in my own life and in the history of our times. And in this month, November 2017, I've been thinking a lot about 40 years ago this month, that is November 1977, and what I was doing then. And it was a seminal period in my life. I was beginning work on my third major article on the politics of cancer, which was a series of articles that I was writing. And very early on, as I describe in the article at the Hagmann Report right now, very early on in my reporting, I discovered that the war on cancer, as it was being called, which was being sold to us as a bipartisan war in the Congress, the medical establishment, big pharma, celebrities. You know, these were the days before the pink ribbons and the 5K races for finding the cure. You know, that's the latest incarnation of it. But 40 years ago, it was much more primitive and simple, and it entailed pouring billions of dollars into the federal government, National Institutes of Health, National Cancer Institute, to try to find a cure for cancer in time for the nation's bicentennial in 1976. Of course, not only did that not happen, but it still hasn't happened 45 years now after the cancer war was officially declared, actually 46 years on December 23rd, 1971. But in November 1977, I was really getting down with that story in Washington, D.C., interviewing people at the National Cancer Institute, and my key source, the late Dr. Dean Burke, who was one of the greatest men in the history of modern American science and medicine. And when I told him that I was interested in the area of diet and cancer, 1977, which, by the way, was totally verboten then. If you said there was any link between diet, nutrition, and cancer, you were called a quack or a criminal. This was a multi-decade assault on the common sense realization that nutrition has everything to do with our health, including cancer cause and treatment. But anyway, when I met Dr. Burke for the first time, I mentioned my interest in diet and cancer, and he said, let's go down to my basement library and I'll show you something. And he took out some volumes of studies, scientific studies in the literature, books, scientific papers, conference proceedings from the early 1900s about, guess what? diet, nutrition, and cancer. The field of diet, nutrition, and cancer was a vigorous area of mainstream scientific inquiry in the early decades of the 20th century. And the scientists then, in a early primitive way, were finding out that in effect, there is the such a thing as an anti-cancer diet, and the diet also has a role to play in the treatment of cancer. Well, what happened? I asked Dr. Burke, what happened? This is 1977, and they're still saying that this is all quackery. He said, well, along came chemotherapy during World War II. It came out of scientists paying attention to poison mustard gas, and realizing that that could have a role in the treatment of leukemia. Too long to go into scientifically now, but that's what happened. And overnight, diet and cancer was out, and toxic chemotherapy drugs were in. And for the next 30, 40 years, that's what got all the research money. That's what got the PR push. Finally, in 1977, that was changing because people were paying attention to diet and cancer again, both at the grassroots level and on the early mainstream scientific level. And the rest is history. And I go into it in my article at the Hagman Report. I take 2,100 words to do it. And in so doing, by the way, I reference exactly what I was doing 40 years ago. I have scans of articles of mine, which were, in fact, this article on the National Cancer Institute that I was writing, which was republished in a United States Senate committee hearing, which was grilling the head of the National Cancer Institute the next year, June 12th and 13th, 1978, those hearings. And Senator George McGovern submitted my article on the National Cancer Institute as evidence in this proceeding, this congressional U.S. Senate hearing, and it wound up published in the official hearing transcript. Now, I'm not blowing my own horn here. I'm just saying this is the history. This is my legacy of reporting for these jerks who are attacking me left and right all over the internet for not having any credibility, for not having any reason to stand and say that I'm a bona fide journalist. Well, I wish I could say what I think of these people, but, you know, read the article if you have any questions. Of course, they won't bother. They won't bother to read the article. They don't care about the truth. They're a bunch of deviant, sick, evil, demonic liars. And that goes all the way to the top of the mainstream media. You mentioned the New York Times. Let me mention this. I've never mentioned this. Here's an exclusive. I discovered this in 2009 when I was trying to understand how is it that everybody's falling over Barack Hussein Obama, right? I discovered a column in the New York Times written by one of their leading female writers who wrote an opinion column, I believe it was January or February of 2009, which I've never seen referenced anywhere, and I've never even referenced it. And she admitted that when she talked with her girlfriends, her women friends, all of them, almost without exception, admitted to her that they were dreaming about having sex with President Barack Hussein Obama. And this New York Times female writer wrote a column, an op-ed about this, which I believe was just published at the Times website and not in the paper, which is why it probably didn't get that much attention. And I'm not sure it's still online, but and reference it, because this helps to explain what's going on here. When you talk about the popular culture taking over the mind of America, women and men, here is a gold-plated example of it. And that is what is running the show in the mainstream media all the way up to the top. And again, to return back to Fox News and Sean Hannity, without Fox News, the people on there, many of them, and Sean Hannity, the mainstream media is less than zero.
Amen, brother. And I feel your passion, because yeah, that's what passes for journalism. And of course the attacks on you, when in fact, you need, I have to tell, I mean, you need no validation. Of course, in the article that you wrote, it was 40 years ago when my suspicions about fake news were confirmed. There it is right there. And so I feel your frustration. I want to say welcome to the party. Welcome to the club. I think you're in good company. But you know, everything you said is right on the money, and you were so far ahead of your time back in 1977, and even before then. And I just want to say thank you, because not enough people say thanks nowadays, but we do. And I want to say thank you for all you do and all you continue to do. And folks, he's right. We don't pay him a dime. Peter Barichalka, how long did it take you to write this article? Days. I mean, you pored over every word, and it was a long time.
I started it about 2 weeks ago as the anniversary, November 3rd, 1977, was approaching. And, you know, I write multiple drafts, and every time I reread the article, I change it. So I guess if I added up the changes and the drafts, it would be in the hundreds by the time it finally goes to publication. And then the benefit of my being able to post my work at thehagmanreport.com is that I can continue to change, tweak, modify, correct if necessary, and add things, because I have the ability to do that on my own. So that is a very rare benefit, which I sincerely appreciate. And I'm right now very proud of that venue, the Hagman Report, and I'm looking forward to hopefully a long association with you guys, because it's really number one in my book right now.
If you'll still have us.
As we expand our followers, I mean, the last tweet I got reaching was from President Trump, article at the Hagman Report. So we're getting noticed.
Amen to that.
Keep up the great work, and thank you so much for writing for Hagman Report. It's always fun and educational when we read your articles, and you have a great following, Peter. Keep up the good work, and thank you.
May God bless you, sir.
Thank you again, guys. Be well, and God bless.
Thank you.
God bless you, too. We'll be back after this commercial break. You're listening to this Wednesday edition of the Hagman Report. Stay tuned.